Good morning. Always happy to have a Wednesday morning with you.
Good morning, Marty.
Good morning, Margaret.
2 weeks from tomorrow is Thanksgiving. I just looked at that and almost fell out of my seat.
Yeah, it's coming up so fast.
Well, it's the earliest it can be because there are five Thursdays in November. Right? I don't think it can be any earlier than that. So
it's coming so early, and of course, then they'll have the lighting around the square.
Yeah, that weekend.
It's just such an awesome time for families to come together and the community to be feeling the kind of spirit that we would like to be able to keep the whole year round.
What I'm afraid of, Marty, is I can remember a few years back where it was so cold going to that you couldn't put enough clothes on to keep warm. And I'm afraid this is going to be one of those.
There's also been a couple years where it's been in the 60s as well. So
hard
to roast some chestnuts when it's that warm.
Absolutely.
I prefer that personally.
But before that, of course, we have Veterans Day to be celebrating.
Yes, we do.
This week.
Saturday.
And then there'll be some services on Friday, but a great deal more on Saturday. And so I'm looking forward to that because it's always a great time to spend with our veterans and to make sure that they know that we appreciate their service and we honor them. And so there's going to be several different places to go, but a very special one at the American Legion as well. So
yep, and as the week continues, I will make sure I get these all. The Herald Times did a great job today in today's paper listing them all, and there's over a dozen of them. So I will spread those out throughout the rest of the week so people have an idea of where to go and where they can pay their respects to those who have served our country.
Right, and I hope that people will also go to the Monroe County History Center because that's such a great place, and we need to all remember to support that History Center. It's really a great place to go. In the meantime, we seem to be making history every day here in Monroe County with more and more news. The latest news that I heard just yesterday late having to do with the Indiana Green Transfer and Recycling Facility, which is of great interest to so many people in that Westside TIF, that Richland TIF, where we're trying to grow jobs, and also to the neighbors surrounding that. The concern was that a Monroe County Council member, Shelley Yoder, was listed as the owner of that facility, and there's been a great deal of pushback on that, and I was told by the committee who has been opposing this facility to go in that location, I was told by them yesterday late that Shelley Yoder has resigned as owner of the Indiana Green Transfer and Recycling Facility.
Interesting.
We'll just wait and see how all this works out. Clearly, this doesn't mean that that facility is going to their efforts to be able to get a state approval will go away. We just don't know yet. But the neighborhood and community group that's trying to get information together so that they can better understand it, and they I understand they oppose it. Nobody wants it in their backyard. I get that. I am concerned as well as about how it affects our job efforts there in that Westside TIF and transportation, whether or not that's going to be using Harsh Rate Road all the way into Ellisville, because that's kind of a windy, curvy. It's just not the best place where you want to see a lot of great big trucks. But speaking of job growth in that Westside TIF, there will be a meeting this evening of the Redevelopment Commission, and one of the things that we'll be discussing, and that will be at 4:30, by the way, this evening, and it'll be in the Showers building rather than in the courthouse. And one of the things I'll be discussing is the Cook growth there in for that GE plant and what they're going to be doing there and how the financing of that's going to work. And that will be this afternoon late, I think it's 4:30, for people who are interested in that to be able to follow along. I hope they do have the cameras rolling because I don't always go to those meetings. I just try to watch them here. This one I might need to attend because I certainly want to support job growth there. And that's so important. And so when we move on to that, I know that people are very interested in what's going on having to do with the food and beverage tax. I did listen yesterday to John Leichhardt's conversation with you. And as you might guess, I don't agree with everything he had to say.
Well, that's why we give you each a form so you can pass right. on what your angle is on it.
Right. Well, I certainly respect the fact that the people who serve on that committee, that's they're focused on just that particular thing, that that's been their charge. That's what they want to push forward with. And I understand that. We get that all the time from people who have just that one thing they have to think about. What we have to remember is the Monroe County Council has more than just one thing on our plate. We have to look out over the next 4 to 5 years and come up with a list of things that we believe are going to be on our plate to have to finance. And one of those things that we've already been told by Judge Kellums is the, I don't even want to say the anticipation because nobody really wants this, but the very
well, the anticipation
thought
of having to spend the money for it is that's
yeah,
that's the
we
reality.
We have to plan. We have to plan. We can't just say to everybody that comes before us, we're going to use this tool and toolbox for you and use that up and not have it available for something else. Now, it will be said that the legislation having to do with the food and beverage tax, the way it stands right now, the way it's written right now, it would not be allowed to be able to be used to grow that justice system.
That's right.
That we're going to have to pay. However, we know that a group of people went to the state and said, we want you to write it up this way. And they took out the part that it could be used for public safety. And that's the reason why, you know, we do now have this public safety tax. But that public safety tax, of course, more and more of it is going to the city and less coming back to the county. And I don't see the way that we're going to be able to pay to build onto that jail or build a new one or whatever that plan will have to be. And I hope it'll be a long time before we have to do that. But you have to listen to the experts when they're saying we're going to be up against it soon. But then you have the operation cost. So maybe you can bond to build it, but you can't bond to operate it. So those are things that, as well as many other things, we have to take a look at the big picture the county council does before we start using up every new tax for something we're not required to do. And if we get up against it with the jail, it'll be something we're required to do. So those are, and I have shared that concern with people at the forefront who are really interested in growing this convention center. But, you know, I heard yesterday that, well, if you're in favor of the convention center, but you're not in favor of raising the money, and I'm thinking somebody's not listening correctly, because many of us have been working with the financial advisor and with others trying to say there is more than one way that we can come together. One of the things I discussed and will be trying to get the information on is try to split the project up, put part of it into this is in the city's portion. Let them have the courage and the knowledge and inspiration to raise the money on their own out of either their downtown TIF or wherever to provide for the, my suggestion was that they would then pay for the exhibition hall, perhaps also for the parking garage, because remember, the county's already paying for a parking garage, which was tied to making room for the convention center. So then we would each be paying for a parking garage.
And that's the one behind the jail right now, correct?
Right, and we're paying for that out of our QMCAT budget. And felt, you know, they moved forward. The county council didn't have a vote on it. But, indeed, if the city really wanted this to work, then they could step up to the plate and pay for a parking garage out of their QMCAT budget. You see, it all works the same. And then the dollars that if we raised the innkeeper's tax 2 or 3% more and bring in enough money to pay for the expenses of redoing just the convention center, then we're not talking any new tax on any locals. So it just seems to me there's a way to do this. But, of course, the people who do not want the city to have to put money into it, they're not going to recognize there's another way. So as long as the discussion can be shoved toward the county council, it's up to you, do or die, that's the direction they'll want to take the conversation.
Are the city and county scheduled to meet to go over these things instead of just kind of playing ping pong back in the media about it?
I don't know that anybody's been scheduled to meet, but I will say that we put together a list of questions for the financial advisor, and some of these things I've just now discussed with you. I called the financial advisor and was discussing it with them, saying, you know, look at these different options. And we don't have that information back, so why would we assume that we already know the answers? If we already knew the answers, why are we paying the almost $10,000 to get information? Now, I'm told that there's the hope that we'll get that information in time to review it and discuss it and present it on the 28th of November. Well, of course, that's right after Thanksgiving, a Thanksgiving holiday. However, that's when they had that scheduled. And then because they had originally said, well, then we'd have the vote, like, what, a week and a half afterwards on the next county council meeting, then it was determined, well, no, better not have a stand because they're going to have a county council member who will be out of the country at that time on a trip that was scheduled a long time ago. And so they were going to have it at the first of the year. Well, then they determined, well, no, we've got to have it this year. I do not know what the big push is to do it this year rather than a few weeks later and let everybody have.
Well, maybe you'll find out they have some sort of legislation in the offings that you didn't.
There's something going on. But so now it looks like, and I don't have a definite on this yet, but it looks like there's going to be a special meeting. Not only will we have the regular council meeting and the work session, but then in addition, we're going to have a special meeting on the 13th, which could result in a vote on the 13th.
The 13th of November?
Yeah, no, December.
Okay, all right. You
no,
had me
don't
scared
have information
there.
Information yet? From
okay.
The
well,
advisors.
That's yeah, but that has never stopped them in the past, Marty.
Well,
so
no, I will have to say, amazingly. I had been hearing people discuss a specific dollar amount or where there might be money or not, and so I'm questioning, I don't understand. Is there like some kind of report I've missed or whatever? Well, indeed, a report had come in on October 6th, and had come in addressed to the county council, and it went out to a member of the county commissioners, and the commissioner's administrator, and the commissioner's attorney, and the council attorney, but it was not distributed to the county council.
Why?
Well, I think it was one of the worst mistakes I've seen made, and I just have to say I don't know. I just feel like it was something that they thought, well, this is not what we asked for. We're having a meeting and getting a list of things that we want, and so didn't want to see a confusion between what we asked for and what was being prepared. And so I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. But by the time I got it, and I'm asking about it, it was almost 3 weeks after everybody else. Well, shouldn't say everybody else, but those folks that I just mentioned had it. and I didn't have it. So no wonder I didn't know what people were talking about. Which leads me to just question, why is it when something is sent out to any group, whether it's sent out to the county commissioners, every county commissioner should receive it. If it's sent out to the county council, every county council
what
member
kind
should
of,
receive
what,
it.
I mean, do they have some justification for having different email lists that they send things to? I mean, that is that's borderline, you know, just... I'm not even going to say
Margaret,
did you check your spam?
It leads to a part of where you start questioning, well, what else is out there that's
exactly
not been shared with everyone? And so I am just saying that if others have felt more up to date on the numbers, kudos to them. I would have liked to have had the same opportunity. But we'll find out when this report is finished up exactly where the numbers stand. And yes, I agree with you, Margaret, if the will is there to do this in some form or fashion, perhaps it can't be as large as has been presented or something. But let's look to see what kind of dollars we have to work with and move forward. But certainly I understand why there would be those who say, okay, the ball's in your court. Here's a porcupine. You've got to hang on to it. And if the council decides to move forward on this, I mean, if the vote is taken on the 13th of December, then we'll see how that works. But I thought it was rather disingenuous to say, well, you know, we can't go to the state, ask them to change the innkeeper's tax percent because we're in the midst of a lawsuit with them. Well, the county's not in the midst of a lawsuit with
no.
the state. And it would be the county who would be asking for the increase in the innkeeper's tax because it has nothing to do with the city. That is totally a county, all of the legislation, it is tied to county, and it's voted on by the county council as far as all the budgets. So if those dollars would come in, we still have that tourism commission that's been established and been used for all of this time, having to do to cover the convention center and the marketing of it as well, and that would still work the same. I just think it's just a lot cleaner. And to say that, well, I could go negotiate and try to get money for the Ellisville area or the west side. The legislation is very clear on that food and beverage tax that's not going to be, it would not be legitimate. People could find any old thing they want to. But until that food and beverage tax would be put in place and that committee put together, after that's put in place, they are in charge of where the dollars go. And as far as why do we have to be in such a rush, I'm just wondering, is it because there's the knowledge or the thought that the city's going to win this annexation situation and then the county will be more up against it than ever to try to operate, and we'll be looking at trying to get different revenue sources rather than turning it over to something we don't have to do.
Well, and Marty, the other thing that I do think that there is play in here is that the people who are saying they're willing to partner with the development, I do think that there is probably a timeline that they're on. So that's probably at least
I think all that could be true. And that's
right. I think there's a lot of things that could be true, and that's the reason why if we would come together and look at numbers and try to hold their, like the city's trying to hold all their cards and say, okay, it's all up to the county. And the county, some of us, are saying, oh, come on, city, go to your pot of money. Don't just say, oh, well, we'll, you put the tax on everybody and we'll spend it in such and such way. That's not, in my mind, that's not helpful. Because until the city administration will recognize, and hopefully they will, that they could be a part of the solution if they would, then we'll see. But until we get this report back, we really don't know.
And what is the timeline on getting that report back?
Well, supposedly we're going to have it back in a few days before the 28th, because that's our work session, and that's when it's going to be presented to us, if it's ready in time. And then we would be voting on it on the 13th.
Gotcha. So, well, I know you'll keep us updated every Wednesday on this as we move forward.
Right.
Anyhow,
and I just want to make it clear, when we are voting on this, we don't tell the public what they should believe. We listen to what the public tells us, and we represent them with our vote. That's what we are there for. If we're just there to represent ourselves, then we don't have any business being on the county council. That's the way it works.
All right, Marty, sounds good. We'll have more information for us Wednesday. We appreciate that. And enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you then.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marty.
Bye-bye. Uh-huh, bye-bye.